Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Are you tired of advertisements? You can listen to this episode and more ad-free for only $1 a month by supporting the show on Patreon. Visit monstersamonguspodcast.com and hit the Patreon tab for more details. Good evening and welcome to Monsters Among Us, the Tuesday edition. I'm your guide, Derek Hayes. Hello everybody, it's great to have you with us here this evening. I'm especially excited because I have one hell of a themed episode in store for you tonight. Now the word paranormal encompasses all things strange and unusual. Anything from UFOs and cryptids to psychic powers. And of course, ghosts. And it's on the latter in which we focus our beam tonight. I scoured my call bank for the best stories about ghosts and spirits and brought them here with me this evening. An Oops All Ghost episode, if you will. So to kick us off tonight, we begin in a New Hampshire home. Aaron, welcome to the All Ghosts episode.
Hey, dear. My name is Aaron. I am calling from southern New Hampshire. I wanted to share a ghost experience I had when I was probably in fifth or sixth grade. So growing up in New Hampshire, for those of you who haven't ever been here in the summer, it gets really hot and very humid during the day. And not a lot of the older homes have central air conditioning or air conditioning. So as kids, we would always go down into our finished basement and we would sleep down there. We would sleep down there because it'd get a little bit cooler overnight. And just far more comfortable so you could not swelter up in your bedroom. So my experience was I woke up in the middle of the night. I'm a light sleeper, never have been a very heavy sleeper. But I remember waking up extremely cold. So now in the summers, it'll probably drop down to the mid-70s. But when I woke up, I remember being noticeably cold. I was bundled up in a blanket. And it was still very humid. So it's hard to describe what it feels like when it's very cold, but also very humid at the same time. So now that being said, I was on the couch and I remember turning over and facing towards the center of the room. So we had a big old potbelly wood stove on a granite hearth. And in front of that, we had a column in the basement. That was a support column that was helped to use to hold up the house. So I remember seeing something out of the corner of my eyes, and as I was looking, it almost looked like a fog or a mist that was on the floor, maybe 6 inches, 8 inches off the floor. And I was having trouble kind of just grasping what it was I was looking at. And the thought even went through my head was, is it so cold that it's creating almost like a fog that is taking this humidity, turning it into fog on the basement floor. So it started to move. And so when I say it moved, it almost looked like when you see the smoke get blown out of a fog machine, like you see at Halloween. But, you know, we definitely didn't have a fog machine going in the basement. We didn't own a fog machine. All the windows were closed, and it started to slowly move, and it started continued to move until it reached that pole in the basement. Once it reached that pole in the basement, it slowly started to build up and almost looked like it was climbing up the pole. So at this point, I'm thinking to myself, you're asleep. You clearly are seeing something that isn't there. I remember rubbing my eyes. I remember, you know, looking around a little bit, taking a look at the clock and realizing that, you know, I was actually awake. This wasn't something that I was dreaming about. I was perfectly aware of my surroundings and situation. As I was sitting there watching what was happening, which felt like hours, I'm certain it was only, you know, 30 seconds or a minute, it slowly started to take form. And as it slowly started to take form, it was more from almost like mid-thigh up through their waist to their head. And as I was looking at them, it almost looked like they were leaning up against that post in the basement. You know, like they were in a comfortable position, almost like you'd see somebody lean up against a light post or a signpost, you know, waiting across the street, something like that. So as I'm watching it, it slowly is starting to come into view, and it's slowly starting to become more defined. And as it becomes more defined, I see the face start to take on features. They had glasses on. He had shoulder length, kind of curly hair. And I remember I reached over my left shoulder with my right hand, and I grabbed a pillow off of the couch, and I tossed the pillow in its direction. The pillow went right by it, not through it, but went right by it. Landed on the floor next to what I was seeing. The entity followed the pillow, watched it hit the floor. And when they turned back to look at me, they crossed their arms over their chest, kind of cocked their head to the side a little bit, gave me this coy smile, and was gone. And I remember thinking to myself at the moment, oh my God, I just saw a ghost. And being, you know, the age that I was in, again, I think it was fifth or sixth grade, the one thing that strikes me as incredibly odd is I wasn't scared at all. Growing up, I had always read ghost books. I was always, you know, watching paranormal. I was always watching unsolved mysteries, sightings. So I always thought that I would be terrified. The thought of seeing ghosts or entities or spirits had always been something that I was really scared of. However, when I had seen this one, it wasn't scary at all. The last thing I remember is just thinking to myself, oh my goodness, I'm not scared. Wake up the next morning, fast forward a little bit, wake up the next morning, and I immediately ran upstairs and I told my mom. So now a little bit of story about my mom. She had a father and a few brothers who all died from traumatic events. I hadn't ever met any of them growing up, but my mom always told me that when I was younger, I would mention things like, I really miss grandpa, or I really miss your brothers. Again, having never ever met them. And so I ran upstairs and I told my mom, oh my goodness, mom, you'll never believe me. I saw a ghost last night. And she didn't seem surprised. And when she asked me what the ghost looked like, I started to describe the stature, the height, the glasses, the hair. And as I did that, I saw my mother's demeanor change. And when I was finished telling her, she gave me that same coy little smile from the entity that I had seen. And she said, you met my brother. And for me, it was a very profound moment, just knowing that, to me, it's proof that we still have our family out there. We still have them looking over us, and that they're there when we need them. So not a scary experience, not a scary story, but I did want to share, you know, hearing some of the other callers call in. It really encouraged me to share my story and my experience as well. Derek, huge fan, recently signed up for Patreon. Look forward to every single episode. I've gone back and listened to a whole bunch from the beginning that I'd already listened to before. Sincerely appreciate what you and all of your callers are doing to share your experiences with one another and with the world. And I look forward to hearing more of these great experiences. Be well. Thanks so much, Derek. Have a great day.
Thank you, Aaron, and thank you for the support over on Patreon. Patreon.com and search for Monsters Among Us Podcast if you'd like to join them. Now, this is one of those classic ghost stories. A foggy apparition. A message delivered by a spirit. And finally, some sort of family connection. Like something straight out of an 80s horror film. What a way to kick off the All Ghost episode. Thank you again, Aaron, for sharing the phone call. Now, I have tons more ghostly content coming up here in just a moment, but the experts tell me now is the best time to take an ad break. So I'll be right back.
As well. It's all coming up.
Getting late early is when Bert's firming up.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai. Kosai.org.
And in-depth online resources. Do you hear that?
Now, next up, we hear from an anonymous caller from Parts Unknown.
Hi, Derek. Enjoy your podcast very much. So I wanted to tell you about when I rented a house in Prescott, Arizona. This was probably about 2010. I was moving. And I had owned a home for many years. I had, oddly enough, a potbelly pig and a Great Dane. As you can imagine, it was a source of stress to be moving with the unusual animal and a large dog and some concern about being able to find rental property. And because I had owned a house for so long, I didn't even have any references from a landlord. I was very fortunate, found a super nice guy, had a really cool house in downtown Prescott, Arizona, and it dated to the early 1900s, and we were just thrilled. We were thrilled somebody was going to rent to us with our menagerie of animals. So when we moved in, right away, there was something wrong, although I didn't actually realize it at the time. I am a successful career woman, very independent. Never been a shrinking violet, so to speak. And the first night that we were to spend in this new rental home, I actually asked my husband, you know, please don't leave me alone. Please make sure that you stay here with me. Very unusual thing for me to say because I'm just not somebody that is insecure or nervous or, you know, unduly worried about being alone. Prescott's a small town. It's not like it's a dangerous place. I just felt uncomfortable. Well, of course, as things would have it, my husband wound up not being able to stay there. He had to go back with the moving van, pick up some other stuff from the town we were moving from. So I wound up having to spend the first night there alone. And I spent the first night there alone in bed with my Great Dane on one side and my potbelly pig on the other and all the lights on in the room. Very odd behavior for me. And that was kind of the first indication, and I chalk that up to at some subconscious level. I understood there was something not quite right with this house, and it made me feel uncomfortable and uneasy. So we had been living there for quite some time, and a couple of interesting stories that involve the animals. They got along very well, but you never want to leave these two types of animals alone together because there could be an argument, there could be a fight. So we would get up and go to work, and I would leave the potbelly pig in the bedroom. He was older. We had had him for like 17 years. We got him when he was a little tiny 6-week-old piglet. I just leave him in the bedroom. It was cold outside. You know, he was perfectly happy to burrow down under the covers and sleep in bed. And the Great Dane would have the rest of the house to herself. She'd usually just sleep on the sofa. And every time I came home from work, I would find the bedroom door open. And it was very odd. This is an old house dated to the early 1900s. It had those big round metal knobs. No dog or potbelly pig, for that matter, is going to be able to open that door. And my husband and I kept fussing with each other. You left the door open. No, you left the door open. Back and forth, back and forth. And then finally, because I was beginning to realize that something was in the house with us, finally, I sat down and I said, look, who's ever here? Let me explain something. I know you like my animals, but they can't be left alone together because they have had arguments in the past. They could hurt each other. Please leave the door closed. It never happened again. And what led me up to having that discussion with it were numerous things. My husband would go to work early in the morning. I would go to work quite a few hours later. He was up like at 3, 4 a.m. in the morning. So my husband's sleeping in the upstairs bedroom, so I could get those extra 3, 4 hours of sleep in the morning. And one night he woke up and there was someone, something, gently stroking his cheek. He thought it was me. And he was like, no, I'm tired. I'm tired. Just go back downstairs. And it's continuing and he opens his eyes and there's nothing there. So he knew before I did that there was something there. And one night we're upstairs in the upstairs bedroom and I said, do you hear that? And he's like, yeah, I hear it. And I was like, this is like voices. He goes, yeah. And so where's that coming from? It sounds like it's coming from downstairs. And he just kind of looked at me and he said, don't go looking for it, because as soon as you go looking for it, it's going to stop. And I'm an extraordinarily stubborn person. So I got up and started looking for the voices. And I started going down the stairs, and sure enough, we get halfway down the stairs and the voices stop. So I questioned him. I'm like, what the heck is going on? He goes, I hear it all the time. He says, it's coming from inside the house, but if you get up and you start looking for it, the voices stop. And you couldn't actually decipher what they were saying, but it was distinct, several people having a conversation. And we just knew different things. My husband was one time doing the dishes. Not something he did very often, but it had a large kitchen. I'm on the other side of the kitchen, and he whips around, and he looks at me and goes, did you just tug at my pants leg? And I'm like, no, I'm 10 feet away from you. And both animals were seated with me. And he goes, well, something just tugged on my pants. And my husband was convinced it was a small child because that was about the height of the tug on the trousers, and also he had heard the child, and he believed that there was a little girl. He was bent over into the refrigerator looking for something. I stored my batteries in there, and he's kind of like pawing through stuff and looking for it in the refrigerator, and he's kind of getting a little frustrated, and he heard a little girl's voice say, what for? That phrase still set the hair on the back of his neck will stand up if you say that to him. And the pinnacle of this for me was I had been reading in the living room, decided that I was going to watch some TV. It was late at night. I got up. I turned off the patio light, which was on the outside of the house there, and turned off my overhead light that I'd used for reading. Just had a small lamp on in the corner, went into the kitchen to fix a snack. My husband's upstairs asleep because, again, he has to get up super, super early in the morning. I start walking through the dining room into the kitchen with my snack, almost dropped the plate because the sequence of the lights were reversed. The overhead reading light was on now. The patio light was back on. And it's just my husband and I in the house. And again, he's upstairs, and I knew he was upstairs. And that was kind of confirmation that whatever was there was doing certain little things to let me know it was there. And for the longest time, I just kept fluffing it off like, no, I forgot. No, I didn't realize. But this was the pinnacle event where I was like, nope, nope, I know what I had done. I know that I had turned those lights off and now they're on. And so I know there's definitely something in this house with me. And again, the reason I have brought up the pets was they were kind of an integral part of this experience. Again, that potbelly pig was an older animal. It was very quiet and sedate, 17 years at the time. Not the spry little guy he used to be. Slept in bed, slept on the sofa, followed you around, kind of thought he was a dog. And then I had this very quiet, serene Great Dane, and he'd be sitting in the living room. So I could see this Great Dane actually watching something that I could not see. And she would track it across the room. You know, you'd watch her head move from left to right. And a couple of times I was able to even kind of look at her, look at the eyes, and kind of surmise that she's focusing not on the far wall, but probably something that is in between the wall. And again, something that I clearly can't see. And there would be times where the potbelly pig would kind of stand up real quick, almost like something had touched him, and he kind of look at me, and then he kind of lay back down, but he kind of stood up abruptly, which is not something he did unless you were getting ready to feed him. Again, I surmise that something had touched him and made him get up. And my animals were not scared of whatever this was. It didn't frighten them. I think that they felt it was not a danger to them, but they did recognize that it was there, and they just kind of took it in stride. We eventually bought a house. We moved out of that rental, and we enjoyed living there. I will say this. I tried to talk to the owner. He's since passed. I tried to talk to him to see if I could get him to tell me any stories, and he was very reluctant to do so, and I don't blame him. He probably was concerned about renting it out and didn't want word to get around small town, but I do have to say this. When we did try to ask him about it, it was obvious that he knew that there was something in that house because it had been his home at one time before he moved and started renting it out. And he even went so far as to say to my husband, well, if there was something in there, how would you get rid of it? And my husband just kind of laughed and said, I don't know. So again, he didn't come out and tell us any stories. He didn't really fess up to it. But with that response of, well, if there was something there, how do you get rid of it? He knew that there was something there. And again, it wasn't evil. It wasn't wrong. It was just something there that we couldn't see. It tolerated us, and we tolerated it. So thanks again, Derek, for a fabulous podcast. I hope you enjoyed my story, and take care. Bye now.
What are you looking for? I think the voice said. The recording seemed to cut out at that moment, and I just couldn't get it cleaned up. But I think that's what the ghost said. Either way, thanks, caller, for ringing in. Now, it's one thing when spirits mess with your animals. It's another thing when your spirits are animals. More on that after these messages.
I'm doing great, and it's going to be a fun next call.
Task with precision and turn potential.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
from
to delivering some of the freshest fruits and veggies.
Now, as promised, our next entry explores the idea of ghostly animals. Please join me in welcoming Andrew from Ohio.
Hey, Derek. I'm out here in Northeast Ohio. Thought I'd have a story that you might find a little interesting, basically because I'm also a skeptic, and a couple things that happened to me at my grandparents' house as a child are kind of just unexplainable. Now, nothing malicious or really scary to me now, but as a young child, it kind of rattled me. Again, especially even then, I was a skeptic. You know, I wasn't really raised religious or anything, so I think that may have helped, you know, not automatically jump to a spiritual or supernatural explanation for something. I've always been kind of the mindset of magic is just science we don't understand yet, you know, that's kind of how my mother raised me. All that to say, one night at my grandparents' house, I used to spend the night there a lot. I had a single mother who was a night shift nurse, so I used to stay there a lot, and my grandpa was an incredible dog lover. I mean, probably hear this a lot, but truly someone who treated his dog like a member of the family. You know, the dog probably ate better than he did, you know, all that type of stuff. And I was very familiar with the dog coming and sleeping on the floor next to my bed. And evidently all of his dogs had done that since before I were born. He kind of trained them, but very loosely. So that was normal for me. Most of the doors in the house were kept open, so the dog could freely go in and out of people's rooms. And something that would usually happen was that I would have the door to my room closed and would get woken up by the dog scratching at the door to get out. And one night this happened. I awoke to the sound, the familiar sound I have heard 100 times of the dog scratching at the door. And now this is a black coated retriever. This is not a small dog. So, you know, it's making enough noise on the scratching on a wooden door. So I click the light on. There's nothing there. The sound has stopped. And so immediately I kind of get curious to, well, maybe it's trying to get inside. And I open the door, nothing there. And I look at the dog's bed that was in the hallway, and the dog is fast asleep on the bed. And I mean, there is no way it could have gotten there and laid down to go to sleep. And this all happened probably within, you know, less than 30 seconds, or less than 15 seconds, probably. And to this day, I don't know what that noise was, and I know a lot of people would say, oh, you were dreaming, but I mean, this is a noise that I was so familiar with, and there was no point of confusion or coming to from a dream state to a more aware state. And when I mentioned this to my grandmother first, she is a very also skeptical scientific person, and immediately, you know, said you're dreaming, or, you know, you just don't worry about it, it was your imagination, something like that. But when I told my grandfather, he told me that every once in a while he would see the ghost of his last dog, who was also a flat-coated retriever but had a much longer, shaggier coat. And he told me that every once in a while, not only does he see the ghost of his dog, he hears it scratching on the doors almost like it wants to get into his room. And again, my grandpa as well is not a spiritual or that type of person. And it just freaked me out still to this day, because the fact that I saw it or believe that I saw it, and that my grandfather admitted to have seen it, when in my mind I can't remember him ever admitting or even bringing up the topic of something supernatural before. Thanks, Derek.
Thank you, Andrew. You know, if you ask me, it sounds like Grandpa might have known more than he let on. But you know, I think I could handle seeing a ghost dog. It's just a dog, after all. But hearing one, scratching, sniffing, and whining, but never being able to see it, that might drive me batty. I think I'll take a pass on that. But as it turns out, a lot of people do share this same experience. So much so that a study was done on the phenomena. Dr. Jen Golbeck detailed findings of a study she conducted with 544 individuals who had paranormal experiences after the passing of a beloved pet. Golbeck concluded that the responses fell into two separate categories: physical experiences, noises, smells, apparitions. 315 of the 544 claimed to have one of those experiences, and the other category being interpretive experiences, dreams, or meaningful symbols. 229 of the 544 thought that that happened to them. Now, the majority of those who claimed to have physical encounters reported hearing nails clacking on the floor, paws scratching at the door, collars jingling, and phantom barks. Interesting stuff, and further proof that there is some sort of connection to the afterlife, albeit a bit anecdotal. And a great story, Andrew. We can't thank you enough for sharing it with us. Now, if you too have a story you would like to share, call our hotline at 888-608-NIGHT. That's 888-608-NIGHT. Or you can record your story on your phone and email it to me at monstersamonguspodcast@gmail.com. Now, I have several more of these ghost calls to get through, so I'll stop yapping and let Donald out of Pennsylvania tell you about his experience.
Yes, hello, Derek. My name is Donald, and I am from Pennsylvania. Just calling because I saw you on Paranormal Caught on Camera, and it got me to start watching your podcast, so I decided I would call because I had a few experiences all clustered around the same time, maybe the same month or so. This happened back in, I want to say, 2004, 2005. I was just graduating high school, so I was either like 18 or 19. Let's just say I was interested in all the paranormal stuff, all the, you know, ghosts and all that stuff. And me and my friends would often go to the cemeteries at night, which obviously isn't very legal, but, you know, we were young, dumb teenagers and decided it would be a fun thing to do. So I go, you know, to do this quite often, and after one particular one, it was at, like, by a very small, like, rural church. I don't even remember where exactly it was, but I got this really bad feeling. I felt sick to my stomach, and we decided to call it quits. But after that, this is when the weird stuff really started happening. It was probably 11 o'clock one night, and I was downstairs watching a movie. And all I remember is sitting there, and behind me, the way it is, the living room is connected to the kitchen, and then there's a hallway that leads to, like, the garage and the laundry room and all that. And all of a sudden, I hear this loud door slam, and scared me to death because I was concentrating on the movie. So I turn around, you know, and dumb me being a teenager decided I was going to run back there and see why the door slammed. And the way the doors are set up, the door to the basement, that one is usually locked, and there's one to the garage. And at the time, that one was open because I had gone in there not long ago to get a drink and forgot to close it. And this is one of those doors that it kind of has like a rubber sealer on the outside, so it's not a door that you can easily slam shut. And this thing slammed very hard. So, you know, I had my heart going for a while. Then on another occasion, I was driving to work, and this was probably, I want to say like 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm driving in the middle of town, and all of a sudden I hear this loud, sounds like somebody knocking, like, in my trunk, like really loud, like somebody's pounding to get out. And I thought, you know, I was a little freaked out at first, and I thought, oh, maybe it's just something like caught under my car that keeps banging up. So I pull over and, you know, check underneath my car. I open my trunk. I found out I didn't have anything in my trunk at the time. So, you know, it really creeped me out. I didn't know what was going on, but I just wrote it off and thought, oh, maybe it's just because it's an older car. Something's wrong with it. But then the last thing that happened is I was hanging out at my girlfriend's house at the time, and she has a lot of stuff that tends to go on at their house. You know, a lot of like random paintings getting moved and stuff. But I remember we were sitting in her living room and all of a sudden we hear a loud smash and we're like wondering what's going on. The way their house is set up, on the basement steps, they have like three rows of shelves, and on their shelves, they have like all their pantry goods and stuff. Well, it so happens that there's a glass jar of some sort of jam or something laying in the middle of the steps. So we're like, oh, well, something just fell and broke. Where it had been on the shelves was behind three rows of other jars and various cans and et cetera. So in order for that jar to be on the floor, somebody or something would have to have physically picked up this jar and dropped it onto the stairs. And mind you, me, my girlfriend at the time, and her mom were the only ones in the house at the time. And we were all in the living room at the time when this happened. So it was a very odd and unsettling experience. You know, and around this time, I also did start to have many, I had a lot of dark thoughts and I started to get depressed and have many issues around that time. And I didn't know, maybe, you know, something attached itself to me in a way. I don't know. I just like to see what you think. Love the podcast and talk to you again. Thank you.
Thank you, Donald. Slamming doors, knocking cars, broken jars. Either you do have a ghost, or you have really bad luck. Either way, we thank you for sharing those experiences here with us. Now folks, I'll keep this brief, but please visit our merchandise shop to pick up some amazing Monsters Among Us gear, all designed by independent artists from the paranormal community. MonstersAmongUsPodcast.com and click the shop tab. All sales help keep the lights on here in the studio.
Locally and globally.
Mostly sunny skies for your weekend across the high.
With a $5 meal deal with new McValue. You pick a McDouble or a McChicken, then get a small fry, a small drink, and a four-piece McNuggets. That's a lot of McDonald's for not a lot of money.
Prices and participation may vary. McDouble meal $6 in some markets for a limited time only.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Copyright 2024.
Now up next, we'll learn all about the ghosts of Great Britain. Sinclair from Mississippi. Welcome to tonight's program.
Hi, this is Sinclair Lundy. I'm in Mississippi. But this is about my mother, who was born in Scotland. And she had her first episode with ghosts and hauntings when she was in the Wrens during World War II, where she was Enigma code breaker for the British military. Very proud of my mother. Anyway, when she got to her barracks on the first night, it was in an old mansion that had been converted to a military facility for the Wrens, which is what they called them. So there was a bottom bunk and it was open. So she went to it and she grabbed it and nobody said anything to her. Well, later that night, she was awakened by wailing coming from the wall area. And she was frightened to death and stayed awake. She was only 21, 23, somewhere in there. And she heard this woman moaning throughout the night. She moved the next morning. And then the rest of the women there kind of giggled and said, yeah, there's a rumor that a woman died in childbirth and her child did too. And so this mansion that they were stationed in was built maybe in the 17th, 16th century. So there's a lot of history there. That was my mother's first episode. The second one I'm aware of is after World War II, she and her best friend decided to go to Holyrood Castle in Edinburgh, where Mary Queen of Scots lived. Lots of death and mayhem there. Well, she and her best friend, because it was right after the war, there were not many people taking tours of the castle. So the tour guide took them, my mother and her friend, into the castle and was showing them about. Well, one of the first rooms was a huge ballroom kind of area with tapestries on the walls, and you could walk around, and it was just beautiful. They were having a grand time. And all of a sudden, my mother saw the entire room filled with people that were mostly white, ghosty kind of vision. It lasted a few seconds, but they were moving and talking and dancing, and it was just all milling about. And it was just a few seconds. Then it went away, and she obviously looked surprised, and the tour guide looked at her and said, "You saw them, didn't you?" The third story is my mother was now married to my father, who was from Mississippi, and she was living there, of course. And she woke up, and it was in the 70s, I think, 1970s sometime. And she woke up, and she saw her brother, who lived in Scotland. She saw him visually at the end of the bed, and he said to her, "It's okay, Margie, I'm fine." A few seconds later, the phone rang, and it was Scotland calling to say that her brother had just died on the operating table. Those are the three stories of Margaret Hill Lundy. She was born in Scotland, and she was a very dear and brilliant woman who had no flights of fancy. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, Sinclair. You know, your mother sounded like an amazing person, so you're right to be proud. Now, Sinclair mentioned the Wrens a couple of times in her story, which is the UK's Women's Royal Naval Service, an all-female branch of their military. And you know, Sinclair, not only does it sound like your mother was an incredible person, but also that she might have had a gift as well. I don't suppose she ever spoke of that. Well, I'm very happy that I could help to preserve your mother's stories, and even more happy that I can share them here with everyone else. So thank you again for calling in. Now let's let the ectoplasm continue to flow. Please welcome Gwendolyn to the program.
Hi, my name is Gwendolyn. I'm from West Virginia, and I had a sighting of a thing a while back that was, it shook me pretty hard. I've always been, like, one of those people that, like, I've never really believed in supernatural stuff to a huge degree, but, like, I don't want to mess with it, you know? And this event kind of pushed me over that line a little bit. So it was a couple of years ago. You know, I was going to pick up my wife from work, then my fiance, and it was like about 11 o'clock at night in Huntington, West Virginia. You know, the weather was really nice. It was maybe a little bit chilly because I think this was in September. And I get in the car and I'm driving out of town because, you know, I was on my way to this little, you know, service station that was out there that she worked at the time. And I'm outside of town, and as I'm coming around this curve, everything is normal. I'm listening to music. I'm vibing. I'm not, like, tired or under the influence of anything or anything like that. Weather's clear. I'm the only car on the road. And I come around this curve, and from the empty road, there's suddenly just a guy, like, standing in the middle of the lane. And, like, I could tell you, you know, he was, like, kind of a tall, skinny, like, African-American guy. He was wearing, like, a safety vest, like a construction worker would wear. And there went from being nothing in the road as I came around the curve to just suddenly he was right there. Like, I could see the road, everything was fine, and all of a sudden there was a guy. And I distinctly remember just, like, him turning, like, as if he just noticed me, too. And I remember just the flash of, like, the whites of his eyes as he looked right at me. And then he was just gone. The car, like, went and like, made contact with his space in space, and he was just gone. And I was really shaken up because I'm sitting there going, I've just killed a guy. And I get to my wife and I tell her what happened, and I'm like really shaken up. And so she's like, well, okay, we'll just get in the car. We'll see if, you know, we see anything going back. And, you know, we get to the spot and there's nothing there. And the whole night I'm shaking like a leaf. I still don't know what exactly it was I saw. I mean, it was a ghost. Maybe I'm just crazy. I don't know. But I'm just, you know, I guess just in the space to share the story with like a wider group of people now. So, yeah, I look forward to seeing what you think. Big fan of the show. Keep doing what you guys are doing. You're awesome. And I'll go ahead and let it go there. So, yeah, crazy stuff. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Gwendolyn. Now, on a hunch, I had Delaney research road accidents from that area and around that time. And to my surprise, she actually came up with nothing that fits the description Gwendolyn gave. So given that she found nothing and the fact that no body was found, we almost have to assume that this was supernatural. A ghost, specter, spirit. Perhaps that of someone that was killed there years before. But in Delaney's digging, she uncovered something interesting. The city of Huntington, West Virginia, is well known for a hitchhiking ghost. The Fifth Street Hitchhiker, they call her. That's right. Their infamous ghost does not match the description Gwendolyn gave, as hers was male, and the infamous hitchhiker of Fifth Street is said to be a female. Which doesn't mean that Gwendolyn didn't see a ghost that night. It just means that she didn't see that ghost that night. Now, I've linked to the full story in the show notes, though I'm sure there'll be a deeper dive into the subject on the main program here at some point. Until then, thank you again, Gwendolyn, for calling in. That sounds like a rare nightmare scenario. Rare because it's one in which you hope it's something paranormal.
I won't say any bad words.
Medicine, even you.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Kosai.org. We have bobbleheads all the time.
I think as the confidence of this team.
Now, ghosts are so popular these days that you can even do a ghost tour in most places. I talk about them from time to time here on the program, and we try to join one anytime we're traveling. They're a fun and interactive way to learn some history, see a location up close, and, most importantly, hear about ghosts that reside there. But it's not often you get to experience a ghost on one of these tours. That's never happened on any of the expeditions I've patronized. But I can't say the same for my friend Roxanne. This is her call, out of the state of Louisiana.
Hi, Derek. This is Roxanne, calling from Louisiana. But the incident that I'm calling about happened in Burleson, Texas. So my friend and I were in Burleson, a historical little railroad town. We were there one Saturday night, had dinner, had a couple of drinks, and then started walking around the downtown area, the historic area. And the tourism center had a sign out that they had an historical ghost tour. So we decided to go on it. I'd never been on a ghost tour before. But you know, I thought the history would be interesting. So we got on the tour. Well, one of the first places that we went was, it's the building where Babe's Restaurant is in Burleson, Texas, which is a barbecue joint, but it was the second floor. So we go up to the second floor, and it's this almost like a ballroom area, just because it was so wide open. It was all wooden floors, and there was no furniture in the room except for a U-shaped couch and love seat area. It was in the middle of the room. There was nothing else around it. So there were probably about 12 of us on the tour, as well as there were two guides. And so they're telling the story. I was kind of zoning out, looking around. I really don't know what they were talking about. It must have been about a ghost, because I'm sitting next to my friend, and, you know, because there were so many people on this tour, we were shoulder to shoulder sitting down, and I felt this very firm push on the top of my shoulder. And so I'm turning around to ask her, you know, what is it? What do you want? Even as I was doing it, I was thinking it couldn't have been her, because if she had moved, we're shoulder to shoulder, if she had even moved, I would have felt her, and she didn't stir. But I still asked, you know, what is it? And she said, what are you talking about? And I said, did you just, you know, push down on my shoulder? And the tour guide says, it's okay. He likes long hair. I'm like, he? Wait, who? What? And I honestly don't know what she said. I think I got a little panicked at that point. I don't think anyone knew I was getting panicked, but my brain was kind of scrambled at that point, because I knew something I couldn't explain had just happened to me. So we finish up in that room, which had been, I think one of the things it had been was a funeral home at one point. So we go across the street to another restaurant. I don't know what that restaurant is today. And it was a big open area, and it was all dining. And I remember the tour guides took us to a back room, a little private room that had very low ceilings. And when you stepped through the door, it was probably a little room that could take probably two rounds of 10, if that, you know, makes any sense to anybody. And we walked in, and there was a waiter in there, and she was rolling up silverware. And I remember this because she turned around, and she was a little, like, damp, and she said, I'm sorry, but the air conditioning is out in here, so it's going to be a little warm. And it was. It was a demonstrable difference between the temperature outside of that little room and going into it. So we're sitting there, and again, the guide is telling a story, I don't know what, and all of a sudden I realized that, like, a tendril of my hair was fluttering into my face. It was annoying, and I kept pushing it back. And then it kind of hit me, wait a minute, there's no air conditioning here, like, there's no draft. So I turn around, you know, just in my seat, looking for a vent, something where air could be coming from. There was nobody sitting behind me or from that direction, which if somebody was blowing it, blowing into my hair. But the tour guide noticed what I was doing and must have seen what had been happening. And I didn't say anything, but she just looked dead at me and said, I told you, he likes long hair. So I pretty much made sure all my hair was pulled back for the rest of the tour. Nothing else happened. But those are two things that happened to me that I cannot explain. Now, I know I've heard you talk about, you know, muscle spasms, and I realize that that could be an explanation, but I will say that I've never felt before nor since a feeling like that, other than someone firmly pushing like two fingers into my skin. And then the air, you know, that was so directed on, you know, one bit of my hair to like blow it into my face, almost as if they're playing with me. Just can't explain those. So anyway, thanks so much for all that you do. Take care.
Thank you, Roxanne. Roxanne was actually the field producer on our documentary, Shadows in the Desert, High Strangeness in the Borrego Triangle. And she did an amazing job of wrangling witnesses and scheduling meetups, and essentially keeping David Flora and myself sane. So it's great to hear from you, Roxanne. And it's great to hear this story. And what incredible luck you have, if you choose to see it that way. You were able to have a little paranormal experience free with your tour. I certainly hope you left them a good tip and a good review. Well, thanks again, Roxanne, for not only calling in, but for all your help in bringing our little film to life. And if you haven't yet seen the film, what are you waiting for? It's available on Apple TV and a whole host of other platforms. Just visit BorregoTriangle.com to learn more. And now, ladies and gents, it's time for tonight's final entry. And this one, too, comes to us from an old friend of sorts. Our next submitter has been a listener for a long, long time. And this isn't his first go-round with the paranormal. But it might be one of his best. Please welcome Sean from the state of California.
Hey, what's up, Derek? This is Sean from Silicon Valley again. Wanted to call with another story. I'm actually going to be just recalling all this information from the top of my head, so the details are a little fuzzy. I apologize, but wanted to tell you about some experiences that my family had when I was a kid. To paint a little bit of a backstory, my grandmother used to be a caregiver for an elderly gentleman who really had no family left. Eventually, when he passed away, he didn't have anybody to leave his, you know, belongings to, so my grandmother inherited the house. At the time, you know, my parents were going through a divorce. My mother, sister, and I didn't really have anywhere to live, so my grandmother let us move into this house. This house was in El Cerrito, California, which is in the East Bay of the San Francisco Bay Area. You know, we used to go and visit this old guy. He was cool. His name was Albert. You know, he really enjoyed my sister, but he was just not very interested in people other than that. He was kind of an old man, kind of lived like a hermit, although he had a house. Nonetheless, so we moved into this house. Everything was fine for a couple of weeks. And then all of a sudden, you know, we started noticing some, you know, strange occurrences throughout the house. One instance that I can recall is my sister and I and some friends that were visiting over the weekend from the town across the bay we used to live in. We're sitting in the living room playing Super Mario Brothers, and there was a small picture in a frame on the mantle. And out of the blue, the picture flew across the room, hit the wall on the other side. You know, all of us kids at the time, you know, we're like, ooh, ghosts, but didn't really think much of it, you know, because we were just young kids. I myself was only 11 or 12 at the time. But as time went on, things started to kind of develop. One morning I woke up, I went into the kitchen, I woke up before everybody, I went into the kitchen, and all the cabinets, all the drawers, the chairs at the table, you know, all the cabinets and drawers were open, and the chairs were pulled out. You know, I didn't really know at the time that that was, you know, a sign of a haunting, so I just closed everything and went on with my day, didn't really say anything. He also had downstairs in his basement, it was really cool, it took up the entire basement. It was a whole model town with a train, electric train that went around the entire table and then up a ramp and around the ceiling. He built out a soffit for the train to go. And I remember going down in that basement and always, I remember the smell. It kind of smelled like really old books. But when he was alive, I would go down there and he would always tell me, don't touch it, don't touch it, leave it alone. It's special to me. So I went down there one time and I turned on the train, and then out of the blue, coming from behind me, I heard a disembodied voice say, don't touch it. The hair raised on my back. I turned it off. I ran upstairs, and to the day that we moved out, I never went back down in that basement. But things continued to get worse. The worst thing that happened, my sister actually got the worst of it in this house. I woke up in the middle of the night one night, and I heard screaming and what sounded like an altercation coming from my sister's room down the hall. And then I hear my mother sprint past my room down the hall screaming my sister's name. So I jumped out of bed and I, you know, followed suit behind her. And you know, we went into my sister's room. Her bed was against the corner and my mom flipped the switch to the light on and went inside and saw my sister huddled in the corner of the bed with the blankets over her head, punching through the blankets. My mom was trying to pull the blanket down, was saying, "Sarah, it's me, it's me." And she eventually calmed her down. And my sister's child's mind turns out, as she said, she woke up in the middle of the night and the Ninja Turtles were at the foot of her bed trying to get her. You know, whatever it was that she saw, she likened it to the Ninja Turtles at the time. But she was completely terrified. She slept in my mom's room for the rest of the night. But my mom never really experienced anything. So she just thought, you know, it was a nightmare and it was our imaginations. And then something happened to my mom. My mom was downstairs in the basement. There was a little bit of space in the basement for the washer and dryer. Until one day, my mom came running up from downstairs. She was doing laundry. She grabbed me and my sister. We left. She didn't say anything about it. We only went back one more time to get our things, you know, about a week or maybe two later. So, and my mom just refused to talk about why we left. So it turns out years later, I mean, this was maybe about a year ago, I asked my mom about what happened that day. And she said she was in the basement and something brushed her hair past her ear and whispered in her ear, "Get out." And, well, so she listened. She wasn't going to argue. She grabbed us and we left. That house was super haunted. I mean, if you would go into the backyard, on the other side of the fence, at the back of the yard, was a cemetery with gravestones that were, you know, sitting close to up against the fence. So, I mean, we had some really crazy experiences in that house. But the weirdest thing is that my sister and I talked about it years later. We feel that Albert, the gentleman my grandmother used to care for, used to own the house, stayed behind. We feel that he lived in that house for years and experienced, you know, hauntings. But knowing that our family was going to move in, he stayed behind to shield us from whatever it was that was in that house. The reason I say that is that, you know, we went back, like I said, a week or two later to gather our things. We put everything in the car. As we drove away, I looked up in the window, and I swear I saw Albert looking out at the window at us with a smile on his face. Any case, keep up the great work. I'm super addicted to your podcast. There's nothing else like it. And I appreciate listening and binging you every day on the way to work. Take it easy.
Thank you, Sean. Now, Sean, oddly enough, I came to the same conclusion that you did. I was thinking to myself, I wonder if that house was just full of negative activity. And Albert's spirit is there to help keep the family safe somehow. Or maybe I just watch too much reality paranormal TV. But regardless, it's a great story, a scary story, and an amazing turn of events. And we can't thank you enough for sharing it here with us. And that's going to do it for tonight, folks. I have Thursday's episode to focus on now. But don't worry, I'll be back next week with a brand new Tuesday episode. Until then, Monsters Among Us podcast is written and produced by me, Derek Hayes. Copyright Red Crow Media. Additional support is provided by Sarah Carter Hayes and Delaney Bowers. All media used in this production is done so under the protection of fair use. Give us a rate and review wherever possible. Follow us and like us on YouTube. We really need the attention. And give us a follow on social media as well to stay up to date on all things MAU. Don't forget, every Saturday at 11 p.m. Eastern on the UnX Network, you can catch the show digitally. And why wouldn't you want to? And lastly, tonight's score was provided by Iron Cthulhu Apocalypse, Co.ag Music, and Carl Casey at White Bat Audio. I want to thank you once again for tuning in. I had a lot of fun putting this one together, so I'm very happy to share it with you. Now don't forget to join our Patreon for bonus content. And don't forget to join me on Thursdays as we face down another gauntlet of gruesome chronicles. Until then, keep it spooky and have yourself a good night.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.